Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is Brian.
This is Daryl.
And this is actually an episode. I know we did an episode on Sunday, but we had to break things up because we had an interview. We had to review Ghostbusters with Carlo. We had to talk about The Acolyte, and there was so much more stuff to talk about from last week. We are doing an off-cycle episode this week.
Yes.
Normally, I would do this as a bonus episode, but I'm doing it as a regular episode. Mm-hmm. Plus, like, we kind of fell off. Like, we've missed a few weeks here and there, and we're going to miss a week here coming up when I'm on vacation. So,
yeah.
You know. But, yeah. So, this is episode 427. Invincible's Not-So-Simple Twists and X-Men 97's Same Old, Same Old. All right, Daryl. So, how are you? How's your Tuesday going?
Doing very well. About to finish up a very nice find on Netflix, the Three Body Problem. After we podcast,
yeah.
So you're watching it as well.
We are. I'm it's enjoying the hell out of it. This is the kind of stuff the Double D's should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this. What they should be doing in the sense of, well, at least season one, because I was going to say, well, Game of Thrones was an adaptation too, but they changed stuff in Game of Thrones. They've changed stuff in this from what I've read. Yeah. I've read like 10 pages of the book.
I've purposely just avoided the book altogether.
Yeah. Oh no, I've wanted to read this for a while. Like I just sat in a bookstore, read 10 pages of that.
That
first
is
10 pages
not
of
ethical
Reacher
at all.
Wow. Well, I don't care.
You don't
I'm care. Like Pierre.
Oh, really? Like Pierre, huh?
Yeah. You remember Pierre, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
I remember Pierre.
Okay. Every time I say tell Jess that, she looks at me like crazy. I'm like, well, yeah, you were like 7 years behind us. So.
I mean, she's just she's a sweet summer child. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so yeah. So if you couldn't tell this week, and we already told you what we're going to talk about, we're talking about the latest episode of Invincible. So that would be episode 6 from the season 2, second half. I think there's only 2 more episodes left. And then we are talking episodes 1 and 2 of X-Men 97. And before we even get started, like, we kind of went hard on Beau DeMeo when he got fired. And
yeah.
If the quality of the show holds up what the first 2 episodes have been for the whole 10 episodes, all right, I'm down. I'm in. I'm on board.
Yeah.
So I think it was, we'll get to it, but I thoroughly, like, I called you. I was like, dude, I really enjoyed this after I watched it.
Yes. And again, I will absolutely say that because I'm very much in most things I'm optimistic about mm-hmm. stuff, but I've been beaten down so much by Disney, by Star Wars, by the MCU, by Hollywood in general. It's show and prove.
Right.
And I expected this to be just full of stuff that would annoy me.
Right.
2 episodes in. I will absolutely say, so far, I have been I'm glad I've been wrong, at least these first 2 episodes.
Right.
I'm really, really hoping, like you said, the quality continues for the next 8 weeks.
Yeah.
If they're doing it weekly or whatnot.
I mean, so, yeah.
I really hope, because I enjoyed it. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I've been enjoying it, and I rewatched them today with Haley. So, and she liked them. She made it through a good chunk of the 92 series, which I thought was pretty funny because I didn't even know she was going that far.
And I actually started watching, I don't know if it was season 4 or 5. I think it was season 4. And it's so funny because the animation to this one is very similar. But better, much better as far as animation goes. Yeah. And there's, because back then, let's be honest, back then shows animated shows tended to, I mean, there are parts that were good and then parts that were like, did you all just throw this together in 5 minutes?
Well, and here's the thing to think about too. Her version of the X-Men in cartoons is X-Men Evolution.
I never watched that.
It's on, you have it. You should watch it. It's really good.
Is it on?
It's on the Plus.
Is it on the Plus?
Okay. Yeah, it's on the Plus. So, but yeah, no, it was really good. I mean, I remember watching it like with her when she was little and, you know, all that fun stuff, or like reruns of it at least.
But yeah. All right. You want to get started?
It's a yawn. Cause it's,
I mean, you want to get that,
it's 8:15. I mean, I gotta, it's almost bedtime. It's almost a, as Jim would say, sleepy night time. So, let's hop right into it. So Invincible season 2, episode 6. Out of 5, proof that Rex
which was
is brain-
actually part 2.
Yeah, it is a part 2.
You're it was right. part 2. Yeah.
So, out of 5, proof that Rex's brain is super smalls. What did you give it?
I gave it the Horseman of 4.
Full life.
I like the animation's good. Mm-hmm. Just the story itself was strong and. Yep. They did a good job of adapting that this arc in the comics, mm-hmm. or this mini arc right here,
right.
of these first 2 episodes. They've done a very good job.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of stuff. My least favorite things, all as always, is Amber.
She wasn't in it a whole lot.
She wasn't
in it.
So
we didn't really have to worry.
Which
about
I greatly appreciate.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I'm rereading. I'm going to reread. I'm actually looking to get part 2 of the compendium, which, you know, they have 3 compendiums out. Right. I have the first one.
Okay.
And so I want to get to rereading it. But I'm hoping, it's pretty soon. Well, no, they actually did break up. So that's, mm-hmm. I'm hoping they write her, that writes her out of the show. Or
let's hope. One can hope.
But hoping with this. Yeah. Anyway,
wishing
I liked it. I appreciated this. I had a good time.
Yeah, no, I did too. Like, yeah. Okay. So this, I give it a 4 as well. I really like you, this did a really good job, like sticking to both storylines that we were following, throughout the episode. I'm going to say though. So, this was written by Vivian Lee. And you know how we're always going on about how like these people don't have like any like credits or anything like that. Vivian Lee is the opposite. So this is that one episode of Invincible she's writing. She wrote 13 episodes of Lost in Space. She wrote Cowboy Bebop, an episode of Cowboy Bebop, which I obviously didn't see, so I'm not gonna like judge. The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, she wrote an episode. Stitchers, she did 2 episodes. And then some other stuff, like a couple of TV movies and stuff like this. But she also produced The Terrain, which is a short. The Dark Crystal, Resistance, she's a co-producer. Lost in Space, co-producer. Cowboy Bebop, she's a producer. And then she's a consulting producer on a TV series coming out called From for 1 episode. But like we like to go like hard on the people who don't have any experience. And the fact alone that she worked on Lost in Space, I would give her the benefit of the doubt to anything because I love that show.
100%.
So,
yes.
I think it's fair that we call this out. Like when we call the other people out for being just like jobbers, mm-hmm. you know, like she's like definitely a high mid-carder. So, I would I like the way she wrote the episode. I like the way she adapted it. I like the things she changed. I'm really interested to see where it goes. I'm really interested to see where she goes. Sorry. And I would be really interested to see her writing more Invincible.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's one of those things that you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. So that's what I try to do in the sense of if I'm complaining about one thing, if I see something good, I'm absolutely going to give it credit. And she did a very good job of adapting this little storyline and putting it to
great job mitigating
the small screen.
The Amber.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just one of those things where this was, you know, it was good. It was a good episode. It was a 4. I mean, 4 out of 5. That's 80%. That's like, for us, that's super, super,
yeah,
super praise.
Yeah. It's absolutely.
All right. So it's interesting. So we get the whole fake out for Rex, cause he got shot in the head, and the gag of him, every time he talked, blood spurted out of the hole in his head. I was like on the floor laughing.
Well, I was more like, gosh, come on,
guys. No, I just thought it was so funny. I'm like, I just couldn't stop laughing because like he's punching the Serpent King with the stump. And he kills him.
No, I did laugh at that. Yeah, and
it was like,
I did laugh.
I'm
at
like,
that one.
Rex, stop! You're gonna hurt yourself even more. I will say, I did not enjoy the fact that the shrinking ray survived.
Yeah,
I thought that was like, come on.
Yeah, and was that a tooth in her head?
I think so. I couldn't tell. I don't know.
I couldn't tell. It looked like a tooth that was stuck in her head.
So they handled Duplicate's funeral really well. It was good. Mm-hmm. So when Duplicate died in the comic, Mark has like, cause this happened like later, a little further down the line. But obviously they've moved things along a lot faster. Like Mark was on crutches and was like all beaten up. So, it was one of those things, but, obviously we know there's more coming with Kate. We're not going to spoil anything there, but you should know. You know, and then there's that emotional fallout going on. Obviously, the stuff with the Martians was cool, with the Shapesmith, which I actually really like that name, Shapesmith. Was, you know, they're like, oh, well, you have to leave him behind. And they're like, run. And the best part.
I love
part,
those cuts oh, like
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The best part of the episode.
Where you hear... Oh,
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. The best part of the episode was...
When they're running and they get into the ship and it's like, hey, are there weapons? He's like, oh, yeah, but I don't know how to use them because I was there as a kid. And so Mark's like, hold on, I'm going to step outside. And it was great animation. It was great space battle animation that they did with him fighting the Martian ships off by himself.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah. I am a fan of cuts where you have somebody talking and say, you have to do mm-hmm. something.
Right.
And then it's just a beat of silence. And then it's cuts right to them either doing the opposite or in this case, running. You know, on the getaway.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, it was good. Obviously like, you know, the way the battle with the sequence ended and then what happens with the end of the episode with Russ, which hopefully we don't see Russ for like 10 more episodes. You know, he needs to amass his secret army.
And again, that's something we don't necessarily, we definitely don't need to see occurring like next week. That's something more, hey, you know, like
let's roll this out in season 4.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this show is really popular and honestly, like I feel like they fixed a lot of the things that I didn't like about the first season.
Yeah. Again, I will give them
mainly
credit.
The Amber problem.
Yes.
But you know, I also think like Mark is a little less of a cuck, you know, so that's, mm-hmm. that's happening. You know, now.
I was just going to say that from what I can tell, they don't have to say it, but from what I can tell, and comparing season 1 to season 2, they actually listened to some of the criticism.
I believe they did. I really do. So. So then we had another space fight between Alan and the Immortal, who was all angry, and he thought it might be Nolan coming back. So he went up to space and just attacks Nolan. Or, I'm sorry, attacks Alan. And Invincible gets up there and kind of breaks it up. And, you know, the fun game of telephone through the telepathy implant. So Mark says, I'm pretty much the king of space.
Okay. And here's another thing. I'm not a fan of Seth Rogen at all.
No.
He annoys the hell out
there
of
me. There is some Seth Rogen I really, really like from the past. But like current Seth Rogen, yeah.
But I will say I do like him as Alan this season.
When he was like, he's a douchebag. You have douchebags, right? I keep saying it, but do you have douchebags?
Tell me you have this.
Yeah. So then him and Mark have the conversation about Thetis and, you know, being a secret vulture mind as well. And Mark shares the books with him, which is really cool, seeing some of that with the Ragnars and or Rogars or however you pronounce it. You know, when they just yeet the lady Viltrumite's head right off her shoulders, you know, and Nolan barely gets away.
Did you just say yeet?
Yeah, yeet.
Jey Uso?
Yeet. Yeet.
I mean, that.
Acknowledge me.
That, yes. That actually was a very good expression to use in that situation.
I thought so too. That's why I used it. I was like, you know, I mean, like, main event Jey Uso is not wrong for you revitalizing the term yeet. And the fact that Jimmy Uso has got to wear the no yeet, come on, boomer, get with the program. Anyway, yeah, so I like all in, like, this was a good episode. It kind of ended a little bit with Amber showing up to Eve's treehouse. After Cecil offered her a job with the Guardians, she's like, I'm not really Guardians material right now. I'm just trying to find myself. I'm not fully baked yet. You can eat me when I'm done baking. You get that,
okay, right? Buffy.
Yeah, that's okay. Good. I wasn't sure if you were going to get where I was going with that. You know, she's like, look, Cecil, when I'm done baking, I'll be ready to go. But right now, if you need me, just think of me like Batman. I'm a part-timer.
I will. We'll have to come back to that baking thing and me getting that after you finish or get another episode or two into Three Body Problem.
Okay.
And come back to it. You'll understand.
Well, Did you finish it?
No, I just started episode 8. So, okay, but so, there's something. I mean, it's not like a big plot point, but well, actually, it is. But well,
we're about to.
You'll know what I mean when you hear it. Yeah.
Cool.
I actually think it might be in 6.
Okay, cool.
But anyway.
So, yeah, but I mean, that was the episode. There's a little bit more stuff that happened, but we don't need to go like beat by beat because you should definitely watch it and not just listen to us talk about it.
Yeah.
Or better yet, watch it while we're talking about it. So, anyway.
Watch the animation and, yeah. You know, you don't have to listen to it. No.
Oh, you know what I need to do is I need to take those the commentary episodes we did for WandaVision and Virtue Signal and the Neutered Soldier, because I took the Patreon down and put them up on the website.
Oh yeah.
So, but just leave them on the website. Like, don't post them to the feed or anything like that. Just have them on the website. I think I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna make a page. And then you can go watch those two. Well, one okay and one really stupid fucking stupid show. And listen to us tear into them. But yeah. So yeah, no, it was good. I liked it. Like I said, I think it's a solid 4 out of 10. Definitely earned the 4 out of 10 there.
4 out of 5?
4 out of 5. Thank you. I'm so used to 10 because we did a movie. All right. You wanna talk X-Men?
What'd you say?
Are you ready to talk X-Men?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yes.
How dare you?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
How dare you?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
All right, stop.
I was wondering, how long is he going to have me do this? Come on, interrupt me.
All right, so episode 97 is the sequel series to the 1992 to 1997, 1996, whatever it was, series that aired on Fox in the morning, X-Men the Animated Series, when we were all kids. Yeah, so this is definitely a sequel series. This isn't like a reimagining, you know, like Morph might be a little weird. You know, I don't think we know enough to be like, oh, well, Morph is now bisexual or trans, whatever. People kind of freaked out about. Like, yeah, they changed the character design, but also Rogue lost her dump truck. So, I mean, people were rightfully upset about that. So she lost her Southern Peach, if you will. But But it's the same lady doing the voice. I did not think it was the same lady doing the voice. And I was like, oh, God, Rogue's voice is really, like, not as good as the first time around. And, like, you know, it is, like, almost 20 years later.
30 years.
30 years later.
Yeah.
So that's fair. So, you know, I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's her. But, yeah, so the series opens following the events of the animated series finale. Professor X has been assassinated at the hands of Henry Gyrick, and X-Men are left like trying to figure out what's going on. Public opinion is starting to shift in the favor of mutants. Some people are actually like sympathetic due to what happened. But the anti-mutant sentiment is strong with the Friends of Humanity, the FOH, and what they're doing. So episode one is titled To Me, My X-Men. It was written by Bo DeMeo, but I think everything was written by Bo. So this one was written by Bo DeMeo, Jack Castorina. And it was good. I liked what was going on here. We get some action. It opens up with the FOH. They kidnap Roberto da Costa, Sunspot. And they want to like sell him to somebody. I'm pretty sure it's Sinister, for a healthy sum. And he tries to, you know, bribe them because he's just a rich boy. And Wolverine rescues him. And, you know, the X-Men are still working to get the trust. And there's Val Cooper, who was friends with Charles in the original series. And she assures them that there is no more Sentinel technology, even though we just saw that there was Sentinel technology when the team was rescuing Sunspot.
Yes.
So, yeah, I really liked the way this opened. It was very... So, here's... And again, we owe Bo kind of an apology. It treads the line of nostalgia and original really well.
Yes, it does.
So it has like Beast jumps inside the chest of a Sentinel and is controlling it, which is something I think we only saw in like the opening credits of the original series, him being like inside of one. And so like we actually got to see that paid off with him fighting. The other thing is, like, with Cyclops, he was using his concussive blasts to, like, move around and get out of the way of things faster, which is something I've never seen anyone do with the character.
That was great.
Right?
That was very well done.
Rogue was, like, even though she didn't have her Georgia Peach, Rogue was Rogue. Rogue was, like, very well represented. I mean, even Wolverine was like, for the most part, Wolverine even... when he's lusting after Jean Grey, like a little creeper that he is. Little fucking troll. Yeah,
she has a baby on the way, man. Come on.
She's married, dude. Respect the boundary. So, I don't know. It's what happens when you're like 200 years old and you're a pervert that's been interested in a girl since she was 14. Fucking Wolverine, I swear to God. Well, I have that thing like right at my doorway when you come in, and it's Cyclops had written Wolverine sucks on the wall with the concussive blast.
I love that. So, yeah.
Anyway, but it's I wholeheartedly feel that. But yeah, no, this was really good. And then so they go to find a master mold. They're off to find what's his name, Trask. And Bolivar Trask and another master mold. And as they're on their way out there, the X-Jet gets destroyed. And they're all falling. And, you know, Angel has to grab Wolverine. Rogue has to grab Beast. Storm grabs Bishop. And I forget who else she grabbed. And then Cyclops is just like chilling as he's falling through the sky. He's like, you know, meet me on the ground. And then, like, flips over and goes, like, full terminal velocity and gets close to the ground and just, like, concussive blasts, like, his way to the ground. And it was so fucking cool. Like, the superhero pose and everything that he did. And he stands up. He's like, to me, my X-Men. And then this little gleam of the red. I was like, I think I just came in my pants.
My goodness.
I was so good. I mean, like, so many people bash my boy. So many people. And, like, I mean, honestly, I think I'm just a big fanboy for Bo DeMeo now after, like, just the first 10 minutes of the X-Men sequel series.
Yeah. I will say he used to be one of my favorite characters in the Marvel Capcom games with his Optic Blast.
Optic Blast. because he had a great range attack.
Yes.
And you could ricochet it. So, but yeah, so they go through all of this and, you know, they destroy the Master Mold facility. They come back. Jean and Scott are thinking about leaving. Because, you know, Jean's pregnant, even though Wolverine's still hitting on her. And then Magneto shows up at the end.
Yeah.
I did love the way he was. Surprise,
bitches.
Oh, yeah. And the way he moved, like, Charles' last will and testament around with the little metal clips on the edge. That was just a really nice touch. But, yeah. All right.
So, yeah, I will. Did you want to give the rating now?
We already did. Oh, no, we didn't. We skipped it. All right. So, out of five, Cyclops is the man's. What do you give this?
I give it a 3.5. For me, it was solid, but I was having trouble getting into it. And there was something up for me with the episode. It was episode one. It was almost like the actors were trying to find their voice again, so to speak, because there were some things that just didn't come across right from the voice acting and the sound.
Yeah.
Which seemed to be okay in episode two.
The acting was definitely the worst part. So
especially Sunspot.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah. That was a struggle to get through him.
Maybe people should have been less mad about him being too light-skinned Brazilian for the role he was playing as a voice actor and more upset about the fact that he's probably not a really very good voice actor. So,
yeah.
So I went with a 4. I actually, like, you know, I really enjoyed this. I, like, kicking it off, I was like, because, like, I messaged you. I was like, hey, I need the thing because I, you know, short-sightedly was like, I'm never watching Disney Plus again, even with Daryl's information. but then I did. And I, of course, was like, because I was like, you know, I'm an X-Men guy. I love X-Men. Like, you know, X-Factor.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's some X-Factor stuff going on in here. There's some New Mutant storylines being thrown in here without the New Mutants, which is kind of cool, actually. But yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, like, I want to watch it. Like, I really do. And then I watched part of Jeff from World Class Bullshitters talk about it. And he's a Cyclops guy as well. Like when we met at the Comic Expo, where we talked about Cyclops for a while. But anyway, it was like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. Like, because I was on the fence anyway. And, you know, and we talked so much trash about Bo DeMeo the week before. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to check it out and see. And I'm really glad I did.
Yeah.
So
same here.
Okay. So episode two, The Mutant Liberation Begins. This was also written by Bo DeMeo. This was directed by Chase Connolly. Both of these, by the way, aired on March 20th, 2024. So Magneto shows up and he's like, hey, Charles left me everything. I'm your new daddy.
Suck it, X-Men.
Suck it, Brotherhood of Good Mutants now. We're not the X-Men anymore. This is the Magneto School for Magnetism. Yeah. I don't know what that voice was.
I was going to kind of...
Anyway,
remain silent and ignore.
Yeah, that's probably the best thing to do. So they're all, everybody like has like a different thing. Like everyone's like, oh, I don't like this. I don't want this. Rogue's like, God, I got to get laid. You know, so Gambit's all like, oh, sorry. Why? So, he's off to join the Guild of Thieves again, the Thieving Guild, whatever the fuck it's called. You know, he's
something from Skyrim.
Yeah, something. Well, I think it was from X-Men before the
yeah, it was. Well, yeah. It's been in a lot of fiction. So,
but here's what I really like. Okay, so like all the X-Men are suspicious. Scott and Jean are like, all right, we have to stick around. But what I really, really like the most about this is that this was the trial of Magneto, which is a great comic book arc. It is a fantastically awesome comic book arc that everybody should read. And I do believe it's in New Mutants. Because it's when he was the headmaster of the New Mutants.
I'm checking, but I believe, like, because that cover, the cover shot with him in his, you know, in cuffs with his, the costume he had on in the episode was on the cover of, was, I think it was the.
Anyway, but. So, but yeah, so it was cool.
Oh, no, it's X-Men. Oh. It is X-Men.
Is it X-Men? Okay.
X-Men 200.
Oh, God, it was that recent? Okay. Wow, now I'm like CM Punk. I'm shook. I don't know what to say. I'm going to just lay on the floor and have temper tantrum like a little bitch that I am. Anyway, did I say that out loud? Anyway, so this is cool because they come for him, and like I love this because Val Cooper's like, our guns are impervious to your magnetism, and he's like, yeah, but what about the helicopters?
I love that. That was awesome.
It was like, you guys are so dumb. Why aren't you rolling up in like plastic vehicles or something? Why are you rolling up with like legit like Huey helicopters? You think he's gonna be like, you know what, I'm only worried about the guns, it's not that I can control like electrical currents and metal and really the iron level of your blood. I could blood bend you if I wanted to. You know,
it's one of those tell me you didn't come prepared without telling me you didn't come prepared.
Yeah, you didn't do the homework. Someone did not. Someone's dog ate that homework for sure. But anyway, so, you know, they do the trial, and he's like, look, I'll do this, but you have to be fair, and you have to pardon me if you find me, when you find me innocent. And so they do this, Friends of Humanity attack, and, what was his name? The Executioner, or... It wasn't the Executioner.
Yeah, the Executioner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Executioner has this gun, and, you know, he's trying to shoot Magneto with it, and Storm gets in the way, and it turns out Storm gets depowered from this. But before that, Magneto, or once this happens, Magneto goes, like, full Magneto, and he takes the four judges and the Executioner, who's, like, hanging out on a seal that he has just, like, magnetized to a seal, up to the upper stratosphere of Earth. And like, he's like, look, we're going to have a chat. I'm trying to follow Charles's lead and do what he wants me to do. Because, you know, while I make valid points, he's the true supervillain here. And that's really my growth and my career path is to be a supervillain. So you guys have to let me do this. And he's like, I could kill all of you. I could kill him right now. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take you all back down to Earth and gingerly set you down.
Yeah. Yeah. And he basically was like, dude, don't prove me wrong and, you know, take advantage of me not just throwing you into the atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which... Again, I thought that was a very, very well done. You know, just the whole episode was very well done. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say the trial.
Yeah.
Because we got moments of levity with the X-Men playing basketball and saying, hey, no powers. Or was that I don't remember if that was this episode or
it was
the last
one.
But we got.
Yeah,
But we did get more interpersonal stuff that. It was germane to the plot, mm-hmm. not saying it was just, you know, something out willy-nilly, but it was germane to the plot. But we also got, it's one of those things that a lot of times in animated features, or not features as in cartoons, or you don't get a lot of that. Right. You get it's more action than, you know, action and entertainment than the actual story. And they do a great job in this episode, particularly giving us both.
Yeah, I agree. I thought both episodes were handled very well. You know, obviously there's still questions. Is this going to be what the story is? Can they keep it up? Like, why did Bo DeMeo really get fired? Like, is it for something that happened on the set, or is it really from the rumored, like, non-explicit OnlyFans? So
yeah,
it's just so weird. Like, you know, I kind of like, it's like, I wish he still had his social media turned on so I could message him and be like, look, dude, we did kind of like, it wasn't a hit piece, but we're like, what the fuck is happening here? But we love the show, so we want to like talk about it, and not any of that other stuff. But yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I think there's some good stuff here, like, and it's worth checking out.
Absolutely. Again, foundationally, because with something with 10 episodes, those first two episodes are very important to set the foundation of what to expect. Now, it could absolutely go off the rails. I've seen shows that have done that, and shows that have been the opposite. They started off bad and then, you know, kind of got better. A lot of shows do
like
that.
Like Supernatural started off bad and like went off the rails, and then it brought it back together, you know, so...
With the 15-year retrospective. Go ahead, say it.
No, I mean, its pilot started off great, and then it got a little weird. Got a little weird in the middle of that first season.
Got like, a little weird.
It is not a great first season. It's a great pilot. I think it's the pilot that you strive to have, but like...
I will say it's a great first episode, a great storyline in there, and a great finale, but there are some things that I would have probably done differently. And if they looked at it, they would say, eh.
Yeah, like Smallville. Smallville's a great example of this. Smallville started off really well. Smallville hit a rough patch in the middle of the first season because they had to do like 22 episodes. And, you know, Smallville would have been great as a 13-episode show.
Yeah, well, I mean, Supernatural, too.
Yeah.
Pretty much every show, looking back in history, every show would be better off if they, especially the shows like the genre shows, because there's so much filler in there. Some of it's fun, but if you cut out that fat, oh man, it's just
and think of the way you could like change your budgets and like all that. Anyway, but yeah, all right. So out of 5 Magneto made valid points, what do you give this episode?
A 4. Again, yeah. This one was a little. I didn't have the same issues with the voice acting or the sound in general. And that was why I took the half point away from the first episode. Again, solid, good action, good character storyline development. And yeah, again, I just really enjoyed this. And I hope this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And we get 8 more episodes like this.
Yeah. So I give it a 4.15. Like this is a rare occurrence on the podcast where I'm more positive across the board than you. And it's not like you're being negative or anything like that, but like, I'm definitely being more positive about this than you are.
Probably because Cyclops had his couple moments in each episode, right?
I mean, it was pretty fucking great. So it's just, you know,
My favorite thing was him moving around in the fight.
Right.
By shooting ground. That was that was amazing.
I mean, still, like, just like, I got this, going to the ground, and like that big superhero landing that he did, and the smoke clears and the little glint in the visor. I mean, that was awesome. But yeah, so you definitely check out like Invincible has turned it around. This has gotten off to a great start. Like, for as far as like comic book adult animation goes, we're in a good spot right now. With these two shows, at least.
Yeah. And not just that. I mean, we're both watching Shogun, Masters of the Air, and Three Body Problem.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about those down the road. But
and Roadhouse.
Good grief.
We have two very different opinions on Roadhouse. But yeah, I will say, we both completely agree it's a bad movie.
Yes, it absolutely is. Yeah.
But I love it. It's so bad.
Again, I can't fault you for that because the original Roadhouse is a terrible movie.
Well, here's the thing. The original Roadhouse, I love it. It was so bad it came around to being good again. This made it halfway. It got to like, it's just bad. And then it's like, this is where we live now. So, but like, what did I like here? I'm going to do a quick spoiler. What did I give this one? 5.5 out of 10. It's like my, it's my third or fourth highest rated movie in so far 2024.
You definitely did it better than me. Gave it a better rating than I did.
Yeah, but you gave Ghostbusters a better score than me. So,
I mean, a half a point.
I mean, still, I mean, it did not deserve that half a point. And then Carlo going up almost the whole point is like, what are you doing, dude? What is it? Like, did they pay you?
Yeah.
Show us on the proton pack where they touched you. So, anyway, all right. That's the episode. Thank you for listening. Check out these shows. They're great. We'll be back at our regularly scheduled Sunday release with we're going to talk about Roadhouse, and we've got two episodes of Shogun, and we might try and fit Masters of the Air in there, but I don't know. I think maybe we need to do Masters of the Air as its own
midweek
thing. I think it's a midweek.
It deserves
because
that.
I do kind of want to just like re-binge it. So
It absolutely deserves it, yeah. I would say.
Cause you know what I did is I waited like 3 weeks and then I would binge three episodes. Like I didn't watch it every week. Cause I was like, I need to watch more. It's like, I just need like a fix of it.
I need to just finish the last two episodes and then I'll be good.
You didn't finish the last two yet?
No. Because I started watching Three Body Problem and it sucked my time away the last couple of days.
Yeah. And like The Gentleman still out to watch.
I started watching that.
That's so good.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, cool. Well, we're going to just reminisce and wax poetic about everything we like right now. So thank you all for listening. We will see you later this week. Have a great week. Bye.
See ya.
The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on Apple Podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcast, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. This show is hosted by Daryl Jasper and me, Brian Tudor. To find more information about the show, visit us at infamouspodcast.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Infamous Podcast to keep up with the show. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons and are looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. Music for this podcast is provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.